the two dots. The two dots on Lamentai
Nimanala. So it's like three lines. Four or five lines.
Okay, so that's what we quoted. Amar Mar means we're quoting from a previous brisa. We are dissecting. Gufa is when it's an Amoraic memra that was mentioned in the previous sugya. Amar Mar is typically when you're quoting from a brisa. Now you're picking apart a piece that wasn't addressed before. So, or necessarily addressed, yes.
Just a skills question. One thing I was discussing possibly with Ami, I just wanted to get it correct, is the difference between mana hanemili and mana amina scriptural versus
Mishnaic? Mana hanemili versus
mana amina. Mana amina alone.
Probably. I don't know if all mina haniminis go back to Pesukim, but yeah, mina mina la certainly. That sounds right. That sounds right. Okay, so go ahead. So that's very straightforward. Then, Vatanya. This is the machlokas, what the bracha achrona for rice is. So how do we try this out? This Amr of Sheshes?
Amr of Sheshes,
obviously, who would be which? Who would say Main Shalosh and who would say Velo Klum? Rabbi Gamliel, who generally has everything elevated notches in terms of his brachos, would have Main Shalosh. And now the Gemara says, Vaha, Avaditanya. Have you ever noticed that the Zakenim and Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Lezer Shua, they somehow always wind up in the Aliyah? Yeah. Okay.
It could be because they're persecuted and they're hiding.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Okay.
It's because they're rich and they're in the higher part of
the. I don't know. Okay, but Yericho this time. Okay, you're at Tamarim. Behaviu.
Behaviu the Panam Hotavot Va'Ochlu.
So they brought them dates. And they ate them, yeah. No. Please do not confuse the Hebrew language with the Aramaic language. If you took Targum, you'd probably know the answer to this question. Now, Aliyah is Hebrew. In Aramaic, the word ol is one thing. Ma'alei Shabbata is Knesset HaShabbos, as opposed to Motzai Shabbos. But here, when it's in the rice of Hebrew... What's that?
Called
Mala Yomadapiska. Mala Yomadapiska, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Continue. So, what happens? He told Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi, it was Mechabit Rabbi Akiva with benching. He figured Rabbi Akiva was going to make a mezumin. Instead, of course, Rabbi Akiva, that weasel, Kafatsu Birech, he jumped up. Kafats does not mean, it doesn't mean he did this. It means he sort of, it's a metaphor, he jumped at the opportunity or something like that. Kafatsu birech bracha achas mein shalosh. Ooh, so I'm going to bring him Leo. Right, and a less nice term tamachnis roshi ben shnei harim. Okay, why are you sticking your head into this argument? Now, of course, you appreciate the fact that no matter what he did, he would have been sticking his head into machlokas. But what I really meant to say is, why are you arguing with me? Right? That's really, if you think about it, when you invite Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi was the one who put Rabbi Akiva's head between machlokas by asking him to be mevarech. Okay.
That's like a standard way of operating.
What?
Didn't he also do that to Rabbi Yeshua as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. A different way.
No, I'm saying the point is he's trying to make people conform to his shita, even though he knows that they hold differently.
Maybe. He may not have known what Rabbi Akiva's view was. Right, he might have expected Rabbi Akiva was doing that. It's first to Rabbi Yeshua, where he was trying to suppress anybody possibly holding the other view. Here he might not have expected it. Yes.
Maybe he was just expecting him to do his minhag in front of him, because he's like the big rab of the
okay,
people.
It could be. Rabbi Akiva didn't.
A similar story in Pesachim with, what is it, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and Sir Gamliel says that why did you
Paris Mappa Mekadesh.
I forget what the, who does what. But he says no, and there he actually crosses against himself.
I don't remember. Was Rabbi Gamliel there?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
He was. I'd be very surprised for some way if it's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yose, which I think it is.
It is.
They would never have seen Rabbi Gamliel. That would be an anachronism.
True.
But none of that struggle was the
No! It's Rabbi Shim ben Gamliel. Okay, there you go.
You know, while you were saying that, I was going to say...
Took after his father.
Okay.
So
no, I don't think he was actually... He does not seem to have been quite the, you know, the personality, right? The what? Yeah, he does not seem to be. One does not get the impression.
This is the second Rabbi Gamliel?
That's Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel HaSheni. Rabbi Gamliel HaZokain is Rabbi Gamliel HaRishon, who was the father of the Nasi mentioned by Josephus. It's Hillel, V'Shimon Beno, V'Gamliel Beno, V'Shimon Beno, Nagu Nesias, and Me'ashan HaKodom Abayis, the Gemara Shabbos, and I think in Avodah Zarah. And so you have Hillel, then the first one's Rabbi Shimon, I don't know if we know anything about, then Rabbi Gamliel HaZokain, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel HaRishon, who's indistinguishable from Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne, is his son, and his son is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Meir, and that crew. And then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the next generation. Okay, so anyway... For those who don't have it but would like it, I have scanned. I can send you a copy of Rabbi Yoel Ben-Nun's, pamphlet. What? I did for a previous semester, but I haven't done anything this year. So not for this semester. I tried last year. I was going to do it, but I didn't in the end. So anyway, so if you email me, I can send you the generations list that they put together, Ein Sirin published. Okay, go ahead. The truth is, if I could change a vav here, I would change a vav. I would take the vav off vachaverecha and I would put it on v'limad tanu. It would make more sense. Avo pishtal me chaverecha omrim kain v'limad tanu rabenu. What? Well, no, ata omer kain vachaverecha omer kain. In other words, they each have this and that way. We say zeh v'zeh, right? Which would be translated to English as this and that, right? Okay, Rabbi. So, Rabbeinu. Okay, how do we know that? Good. How do you know you follow a rov? Achrei Rabbim lahatos. So at least for our case, what we call a ruba de isa kaman, that pasuk suffices. Okay, it's like counting judges. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo. So here they expand. This is more like the Mishnah. They expand it. And to explain, Rabbi Gamliel says you make benching on Dagan or Shivas Aminim. Okay. And the Chacham say, if it's not bread, right? Fine. Then, and it's not, if it's not bread, or it's not wheat, or barley, one of the Chameshes made Dagan, then what's the din? Kol She'en Olomi, maybe you love me Shivas Aminim. V'lo min dagan kum pasos dachar. We'll omer bracha achas mein shalosh v'chacham omer v'lo klum. Okay, so what do you see from this? You see that on pasos and pas dachan, Rabbi Gamliel says, what's the bracha acharona? Mein shalosh, and the chacham say nothing. So that would serve to prove of Sheshis's point. However, the Gemara now says it can't be. Why not? Go ahead, Yosef. B'mai.
Oh.
Chaim, what's your question?
With this previous piece that included the story of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel in the attic, did that have anything to do with? I mean, that was all purely about Bracha Rishona. Like, why was this even brought up?
It's all one.
Yeah, it's all one unit. What they really needed was the last part for Rabbi
Yehuda.
That's correct. What Chaim is doing is a very important point, but nonetheless, the answer is Chaim's asking, why do you need this whole brisa? You only need the last part. The answer is you only need the last part, but the Gemara Kedarko frequently quotes the entire thing. In fact, the Balei Tosfos observe in a number of places in Shas that the Gemara sometimes quotes the wrong half. Like they quote the beginning of the Mishnah that is needed. You know, typically when it's short and you have to understand the Hulei and you really need the second half. Just as it sometimes, but Balei Tosfos claim in a number of places when the Gemara quotes the Pasuk as a proof text, they're really assuming the second half of the Pasuk. Okay, so here, it's a much larger section, but they're quoting it for the latter part. So, now the Gemara says, B'mayu kimta. Ema seifa deresha. Okay, go back to the original Braisa. In the earlier part of the Sugya, and what does it say there? Im ein. So if you have pas dagan, which has been crumbled to the point that the prusos are not kayamos, so whatever that means, I shouldn't even say that. If you have some type of bread with the prusos on the longer kayamos, what bracha do you make? Amizonos and may inshallah according to that brisa.
Can you define kayamon?
No. I can't. That's the next sugya we're doing. And that's going to be the whole machlokes rishonim. By the way, having done halacha will give us a very big head start. So I would suggest that you chazer the halacha we spent the last 2 days doing, because the whole issue of Rabbeinu Yon and the three parts is what you're going to see inside now. But the whole Gemara is easier to read, and the whole discussion of the rishonim is predicated upon one or two very basic issues in how to put the pieces together. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. So what do we know about that earlier brisa? If the prusas are not kayamos, you make mizonos and mayin shalosh. Now, if it's Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel. Yeah, on dates and on wheat meal, you make, Birchas HaMazon afterwards. So, if that's the case, why? Because you have pas, she'ena prusas kayemos, do you make anything less than Birchas HaMazon as well? How can that be? In other words, hamotzi, we understand why you don't make, but Birchas HaMazon? So that brisa cannot be Rabbi Gamliel. Ella. So yeah, now yes, Chaim.
No, we're trying to figure out what exactly is the kasha d'rabbanan and d'rabbanan.
Because the brisa said me'in shalosh v'atanya v'lo klum. What bracha achronah do you make on rice? Rav Sheshes first tried to solve the problem by saying that the brisa that says me'in shalosh is Rabbi Gamliel. The brisa that said, that was our brisa we were dealing with. The other brisa v'lo klum is the chachamim. But now we demonstrated that brisa which you just wanted to say is Rabbi Gamliel, that says me'in shalosh is the bracha after rice, can't be Rabbi Gamliel. It must be the sheet of the chachamim. And if that's the case, well then, once again, Hadron Kusha Leduchta, our question has come back. What? That is a less than ideal teretz. I don't know if you could anyway. It's very hard to say that. I mean, you can't, it's hard to split a sentence in the middle. No, but the problem, I see, you want to say that you could have. Maybe they felt that was less dachuk than doing the following, which is, yeah. Right? No, the problem is, how could the Tanna and the Braisa say that Ein HaPrusas Kayamos, you make only Main Shalosh? If it's Rabbi Gamliel, even if Ein HaPrusas Kayamos, you should be making Birchas HaMazon. Because Rabbi Gamliel says even if you don't need Tzuras HaPas or Birchas HaMazon for him, Te'enim, Kosavos, Daisa, which is that Pas. Daisa is wheatmeal, Farina. Right? You make Birchas HaMazon according to Gamliel. But if you take you take Pas Mamish, and you soak it in the Tzuras HaPas, as long as Kayama. Well, so what if you lost the Tzuras HaPas? So what if Ena Prusos Kayamos?
Well, maybe
Tzura
matters.
What?
Maybe Tzura matters. Maybe that's the reason why this is going to be Main Shalosh, and that's going to be Tzura
HaMas. Why?
Because
Daisa has no Tzuras HaPas. Daisa has no prusas kayamas. And you still make brach samazan on it. Now, taking that pas and cooking it, and presumably cooking it means in liquid, how is it different than if you didn't even make a pas in the first place and you just make it in liquid? Right? Chaim?
If we're saying that, I mean, when we say the, when we put the seif of the reisha, is that referring, that's referring to wheat?
Yes, it's of the wheat, the reisha of the reisha is prusas kayamas. The seif of the reisha is in prusas kayamas, of wheat. The reisha of the seifa is rice when prusas kayamas. The seif of the seifa is rice when ain prusas kayamas.
How is saying that it's the Rabbanan that say that that if the prusot are not mekayamot on wheat, then they get a hamishalosh? How does that say anything? What does that say about their shita about oras, though? I mean, like, why is that make? Why is
no? Because the continuation of the brisa says you also make a me'in shalosh on rice. As that's one whole brisa, kosher sechita, kosher seores. So the way the problem emerged, you're correct from the seif of the seifa that a kosher. Well, either way, either part of the seifa that after an ores mevarach la'acharav bracha achas mei in shalosh. So the first way of trying to get around that was to say no, that whole brisa is Rabban Gamliel. But then we realized that the reisha certainly is not Rabban Gamliel, and presumably the seifa is also not Rabban Gamliel. Meaning it's all the chachamim, and yet you still say mei in shalosh, and yet we have a brisa v'lo klum.
So it's not necessarily the seif of the reisha that's causing the problem. It's the fact that by the seif of the reisha, we can tell that this
the seif of the reisha determines authorship of the brisa.
Okay, and that would interpret.
And once the authorship of the brisa is not Rabban Gamliel, but it's the chachamim, so then you're in trouble. Okay. So now, what does the Gemara say? So Yachi Kasha the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan Ella. Simply, amend the text, solve the problems. That's a great solution. Okay. What's that?
Can we still do that?
On occasion. On occasion. I don't know. I probably mentioned this in Shir, but there really probably more than one article to be written on studying emendations in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah and Hilchos Brachos. How much material has been amended to
conform?
I don't know. To conform to what our nusach is. It is absolutely amazing how much material has been changed. It's all over the place. Are you using the Franco-Rama?
Yes.
Okay, you're right. I'm supposed to start tomorrow, so because I'm a week behind. But, okay, so you're falling back to make me feel better. Okay, I know I took off 1 week, so.
If you average that with Schneimaker,
you're 1 week ahead.
I need an object I can throw at him. Okay. Shlomo's looking forward to finishing the shiur this year, and moving on to do Yoreh Day because he doesn't know if he's gonna make it out alive. So, okay.
I mean,
if you learn with the Frankel Rambam and you just look on the side, it's all over the place. It's like somebody went. It's like they just assumed the Rambam. There must be a mistake in the Rambam because it's not what we say. One thing I noticed actually was today's perek. Was that the nusach I didn't know if there were any emendations made, but the Rambam's nusach of Birchas Kohanim when there's no Kohanim there is Elkeinu saying Barchinu Baravcham Shulashes Ha'amura Mipi Aron of Kohanim Gedol Shecha. There is no Batorah Ksuvei De Moshe Avdecha. So if anyone is kind of wondering, it's not Bracham Shulashes Batorah.
It's hard enough to parse.
Right. It's not Ham Shulashes Batorah. It's Bracham Shulashes. Because the Rambam doesn't have Batorah Ksuvei De Moshe Avdecha. It's Bracham.
It makes sense to say Mishulashes Batorah because that's an expression. So I said it.
Where?
No.
No.
That
would mean excuse me.
Three
excuse
times.
Me. It's not an expression.
Three times.
No. It's Nemar Batorah Shana Bevim Mishulash Beksuvim. Yeah, no.
So it's correct
what Moses
is saying.
Yes. You can tell from the Nusach of the Rambam. I haven't researched further, but you can tell from the Nusach of the Rambam, he didn't have Batorah Ksuvei De Moshe Avdecha in there. So, but I wouldn't be surprised. Is there Rambam here? What's it here?
Doesn't
the Rambam have an emendation for that? I need Aleph. Hold on. Let me just see what it says in the. Hold on. It's in the last parak of Ilchas Tefillah. The last two prakim are Birchas Kohanim, and this is at the way end of the. It says, there you go. Somebody had to add it in.
Of course.
you can almost predict when you're reading. When you read the Rambam, the Franco Rambam, you can and you see it's a little different this way, that way, that stuff. You can almost predict you go to the side, you're going to see it in the Defusim, they edited the Rambam.
Oh, what the Rambam does is,
Well, that, all right, so that conforms to an assumption that it's not, it's Bracha Mshuleshes. Okay. Anyway, fine. Okay, so here the Gemara engages in a time-honored tradition. It simply amends the Braisa. So, can we do it on occasion? You should be aware, it's a very, very famous source. You know, whenever you look in Rashi, and you see the words Hey Gimel, the letters Hey Gimel, Hachi Garsin, and you know that Rashi has amended the text. He's rejecting a Girsa that was in front. In most cases, he's amending the text. Now, you wouldn't know that. You might just say that Rashi had more than one text, and he's picking it, except for the very famous Hakdama to the Sefer Yashar, Rabbeinu Tam. They say there was a Chayrim against Magei Sfarim. I don't know if there's any formal Chayrim, but Rabbeinu Tam, in his introduction, is Kore Tagor, or Kore Tager, against what? I don't know what the vocalization is. Tagar? It could be like, what does that mean? A merchant who was dishonest? Yeah. Is that how? I assume my folk etymology was. I don't know. What does Kore Tagar mean either? Come on, you called merchant, okay?
called being a merchant.
Thank you. Okay, you made my case for me. So anyway, he was Kore Tagar, and those people would change Sfarim. But he writes there that as much as my grandfather Rashi changed Sfarim, my brother Rashbam changed 10 times as much. What's that?
It's like the opposite.
No! If it's an error in the text, it's an error in the text. Neither of them amended Chas V'Shalom Tarsh B'Chsav.
Where does it say that?
It's in the Hakdamah to the Sefer HaYashar. It's an unbelievable line. So
he's opposed to
it? Rabbeinu Tam's very opposed to emendations.
He's also opposed to like amending Minhag as well. We don't think that Rashi did all the number of
Minhag. Not commenting on that. It's funny because you think, of the brothers, Rashbam was the firm one. You know, Rabbeinu Tam once, criticized him. I've never seen this story myself, but apparently there must be a story about Rabbeinu Tam criticized him for walking with his eyes looking down if he didn't want to see any women, because he told him you almost walked into a wagon being drawn by Kilayim. So Rashbam was actually the Firmach. Maybe that's what you have to do in order to be able to write the commentary he wrote on Chumash. I don't know. Okay. So, anyway, be that as it may, what's that? All right, so we've said enough on that previous thing. Now we're going to start the same material actually that we just dealt with the last 2 days. And we start, the first line really doesn't belong here. It's a machlokas, so we've shown him how to read it, yeah. What tosis? We did him. We read the bottom tosis, we read the tosis above it. There's nothing, we've read all tosis. Oh, I'm sorry, we never did that about him. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so let me go back and do that quickly. It's almost like over a yomo, over his manabat al karbana. But okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to point out the following. I'm going to read Tosis again this time. Now that I know what Tosis means, the bottom Tosis on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Nasa Rama Gimel Roshus Rabbi Kiva Levarich. There is a Gemara in Chulin that says Eimazam Nal Aperos. Now the Maskana Tosos is going to assume that that only means if you don't make Berachas Hamazon, you don't make Zimun. For Rabbi Gamliel, you could be Mizam and Ala Peres. But Tosos initially didn't realize that here. In Chulin, he knows that as a given. He takes it as a given. That for Rabbi Gamliel, Mizam and Ala Peres. So Tosos writes here, Sover Hoyosh She Yvorech Gimel Brachos Kemosha Hoyosh Sover. So Rabbi Gamliel thought that Rabbi Akiva would make Berachas Hamazon just like he held. Im Tomar, the Rabbi Gamliel, Hakaimelon de Mizam and Ala Peres. But according to Rabbi Leo, Eimazam and La Peros. So Tosis here doesn't realize it's not a kasha. But that is probably what Tosis is tearing. It's not a kasha because Rabbi Leo, if you hold, you make Samazan on Peros, you make Zimun on Peros too. So Tosis answers, Vishloma the Rabbi Leo, Haya Savur, Sheyehem the Varech al Kol Shilaminim Gimel Bracha Shlemos. Okay, so what Tosis appears to be saying, and I think it's more explicit in Tosas Arash, is that no, according to Rabbi Gamaliel, you are Mizam in Al Paris, because if you make Gimel Bracha Shlemos, then you can do a Zimun as well. But then he says, V'chiberech Rabbi Akiva Mein Shalosh, Rabbi Akiva, who held that you don't make Bracha Samazam Peros, so you don't bench for other people. Other people are supposed to bench for themselves. So Rabbi Akiva made that Bracha La'atzmo Dafka. He made it Dafka only for himself. He didn't intend to be Motzi others. The Kaimalane Mizam and Al Peros. V'acherim ha-mesubim berachu kol echad li'atzmo.
Each...
No. The point is that Rabbi Akiva got up and made an alamichya. We're not told what the other people in the room did. So Tosfos says Rabbi Gamliel thought Rabbi Akiva was going to be mezamein for all of them and make bench for all of them. Instead, what did Rabbi Akiva do? So it says Rabbi Akiva made an alamichya and he made it for himself.
Do you think that makes sense with the words?
Yeah, yeah. In other words, when
he quickly did it for himself.
No, unless he made the bracha, and everybody, once he made a main shalosh, everybody in the room understood they had to make their own main shalosh. The Im Tomar. So then, the rest of it goes on to be sort of the same. This is the question we read, which is, how do you ever get out of the endless loop of benching, having a kosher bracha, benching, having a kosher bracha? That's an issue that is dealt with by Tosfos in Psachim, I think. And hand me a Psachim for 1 second. I want to talk about that. But now if you go to the end of our Tosfos, V'yishlomar, and here's a very tricky part. Tosfos says at the end here, V'yishlomar, the last, second to last line, Heicha de'ena shose be'kvias rachma lo'lugmav mode remagam liel dim lav kem achi lesle remagam liel bracha achas mein shalosh b'shumakam. Now this is a very strange Teres Tosfos is giving. If I, you know, lulei demistapin, I would say there's an error in Tosfos, and there are two girsos, two terutzim that got conflated. You read it carefully. Tosfos says, this kasha again is, if you're going to have a cup of wine after Birchas HaMazon, and at least you are going to have to drink from it, make a Bar Pir Geffen and drink from it, well, then you have to bench again, and then you have to have a kosher bracha again, and then you have to bench again, and so on and so forth. So Tosfos says that Heicha de'ena shose b'kvias. What does Eino Shose B'Kvias sound like? Is Eino Shose B'Kvias Pachos Mekashir or even a Shir? Even a Shir, that's what it sounds like. Then he says, Rak Melo Lugmav. Is Melo Lugmav a Shir or not? For anybody whose name is not Og Melech HaBashan, is a Melo Lugmav a Shir?
Yes.
Oh, you mean is it?
No!
No!
It's not a revius.
Yeah, but
so what? What does that do with kvias or not? Let's say I'm kovei myself not to drink a melo lugma. Why does he introduce? What does kvias have to do? Just say whether he had a shear or not. Now, if you look, so then he said, now to imlav kain. Now, for those of you who thought that he meant pachas mikas shear, he goes on to say, the imlav kain b'chi lesle ramgliel brach achas mein shalosh b'shum makom. So what is Tosa saying? What? That seemed not to have crossed his radar screen on Lama Zayin Amid Beis, right? For some reason, that didn't cross his radar screen. I don't know why. But even putting that aside, he meant maybe on wine. You know, you don't have an Ala Geffen, Apriya Geffen.
Well, also, you wouldn't make a Zimun if you're the only person drinking.
Doesn't matter. Kosher Bracha might still be required. And that's the
just
Birchat HaMazon. Yes, that's what Tosfos and Psachim deals with. That's what Tosfos and Psachim deals with. And more in a moment on that. 1 second. So what does Tosfos say? Is he talking about Shir or Pachos Mikas Shir? The answer is, he's talking about a Shir Shalem. But if you don't show Sebekvius, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, you don't make a Birchas HaMazon on it. You make a Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. Al Geffen, Al Pri Geffen. The only time you make a Birchas HaMazon on Yayin is when you're Koveya. Again, what does Koveya exactly mean? I don't know. It doesn't mean that it's your... What?
It brings
yeah, but I don't think that's what he means. Right? It's not... And does he say that you have to be Koveya on the Kosavos, on the dates? I don't know. So if you look in Tosfos HaRosh, matters are a little bit clearer there. Tosfos HaRosh on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph writes, firstly, at the beginning, I'm sorry for those you don't have, I'll try to read a little slowly. Nasan Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Akiva Rishus Levarech Ritzono, Rabbi Gamliel's desire was Sheivarech Gimel Brachos V'yizamein Aleihem. He doesn't have the kasha. In other words, he doesn't have a kasha against Rabbi Gamliel of Emesam Aperis. That's dafka if you don't hold like Rabbi Gamliel. Alright, V'kafetz Rabbi Akiva Uberech Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh Ula'atzmo Berech V'lo Lehotzi Achem Yudecho Vasan D'kaimel L'meperek Alabasar D'Emesam Aperis. Okay, then he goes on to ask, he goes on to say that you didn't eat kolsovo here for Rabbi Akiva, because either, otherwise Rabbi Akiva should have been modeh that you bench, right, for a different reason. So put that aside. Then he asked the kasha that Tosfos asks, So then Tosa Rush says, V'yesh lomar, shelo yishte min hakos, kishir sheyishayev b'racha acharona. The first teretz is, b'feirish, that you drink pachos mikashir. That would be like a malo lugmav. Inami, Rabbi Gamaliel lo amar, that you make brachas amazon, elahecha da'ochal oshose b'kviyas, the dover choshev. I don't think that means that you make your meal wine. It means, you know, it's one of those, I don't know, but I can describe it when I see it, you know. So to 3 ounces of wine doesn't qualify. 3 cups of wine is a kviyas. Okay? Lo amar elahecha da'ochal oshose b'kviyas, the dover choshev. Avo kim lo lugmav, that's strange, because lo lugmav is less than a shear. Mode de loha yitzarech levarach yemo brachos. Meaning, even ogmel chabashon smol lugmav, I guess. That's a little bit strange there. But anyway, you see some tosas or rushes that are really two different answers. What?
The same
tosas. It's the same tosas. So it clarifies the Zimun piece a little bit. You see where tosas wound up. And you see that there are two different Heirutsim, and when you look throughout the Rishonim, there are two different Heirutsim. Now, there is Tosas in Chulin, I just asked you to look at, because you have to go fishing in the middle of Tosas to see, that there he takes as a Davar Pashut that, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Mizan and Alaperis. In other words, Zimun is tied to Berchas HaMazon. Tosas in Psachim deals with this issue, Shmami Nebracha Tunakos, and one of the ways of getting around it is to say, but Tosas doesn't like this, that you only make a kos when you have a Zimun. And therefore, this guy who does have to bench after drinking the wine, but since there's no zimun, that benching doesn't require a kos. Then Tosus writes differently. He says, "V'yesh lomar the lo titnu kos el al achar sudas lechem." Okay. What's that? Not after anything. Even according to Leal, the only notion is a kosher mitzvah is after a suda of lechem. That's a real suda. After anything else, what?
Where's the sudas lechem line?
Kufhamid Bays, Diba Maskal Shmamina.
The third
Shmamina. Shmamina Bracha Tuna Kos.
They're all Shmamina.
Imsachim, yes. Yes. Kufhamid Bays. They refer you to it in the Maseres HaShas. Okay? And there you will find that line. Kufhamid Bays? Okay. Eyal, does it satisfy matters? Comments, questions? Any other observations? Going once, going twice, sold. Okay, now, on to Riata de Chakloi. Isn't Mechoza a funny name for a city? Where am I going? I'm going to City City.
Yeah, it's probably Mechoza do whatever. I got shortened.
Where am I going? I'm going
to City.
Yes.
In what language?
In what language does Mechoza mean a city?
In Aramaic.
In Aramaic, as you see in the Gemara just now. I'm a Rabba. Rava says, who would like to read? Jason, you want to read now?
No.
Okay, fine.
I was wondering why you didn't call me.
Yes, you've read already. Okay, who would like to read? Yosef, did you want? You want to get?
Where are we?
Where Yosef finished. Okay. Hey, Ezra, go ahead. Ezra.
I've never read.
You've never read, okay.
I'm a
Rava, yes. Hi, Riata. Okay. Yeah, why is it called Rihata? Running, right? For those who don't recognize the root of Rihata, you might recognize Rahat. Even those who do recognize the root might not realize what it's cognate with, which is Rats. Okay, the Hay is, I guess, weak in that case in the middle of the word, and it's Resh Tzadi, Rats. Resh Rav Tzadi is Resh Hay Tes. What? That's good, actually. That's a good example, Gabe. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ezra. So, the word... Yeah, by the way, that's not the only place you have it, but not even with a hay. You have halach in Hebrew becomes hey, vav, chaf in many forms in Aramaic, yahach.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so anyway. I'm sorry? So I think Riata de Chakloi, because it has a lot of liquid in it, it runs. Right, it pours.
What does that say about
the Chavitz Kedera? So there's a machlokas Harishonim whether or not Rashi says it's Chavitz Kedera. Okay, which is fine. And the Ritva says no. He says it's something more watery than Chavitz Kedera. Maybe he even uses that language of Ria. Maybe explains it on that basis. I don't really. It doesn't really matter. The issue is more one of a historical academic issue. The Ritva seems to be troubled by the fact that all of a sudden Rava should be Mesupak. You know, Rava all of a sudden thought that Rehuda was right. And that Rav Kahana, so that's why the Ritva says no. It was even looser than Chavitz the Mechavetz Kedera, and therefore he initially he thought maybe even Rav Kahana would be Modeh, and then Rava changed his mind. Okay. We just observe that this, if you don't read that way especially, it indicates that the position of Rav and Shmuel was not yet entrenched despite Rav Yosef's comments, because Rav is still going back and forth on whether or not Kol Sheyeshbo is really such an established in. Okay. So anyway.
So this kind of liquidy dish has a lot of chemach in it.
So chaklai means?
The
fields. Okay.
The out of counters.
The mashi ba kimcha. That's literally an out of towner. Spoken as a true five towns boy. Okay, go ahead. Chakla is the word for field. In biblical Aramaic, I don't remember. It may be bara. Chayas asada is chayas bara, but and in Galilean Aramaic, if neophiti is any indication, I can't tell you for sure. It is the usual. Actually, it depends. It depends how it's used. It's either ape bara or chakla. It depends upon context. For Unklus and Yonasan, it's pretty much always chakla. Unless it's a quotation. There is one place in Unklus where you do have something on Chayas Asada, I believe under the influence of Daniel, Unklus translates Chayas Asada ve'eskav shemayim eschevas bara, and that's only because the pasuk in Daniel. Okay, so anyway, so chakla is... What? Yeah. Okay. So the chakloi, the mafshi became chamevarei.
The field dwellers, they have a lot of chemach, so they say Ramim is a nose. My taima, the smida ikar, right?
The soles is assumed to be ikar.
Is really ikar, so we'll get a Ramim. The mechosa, those, the city dwellers, the lo mafshi bei kimcha, they don't have as much chemach, the varim galach shenach only have been varo. They say shenach.
Okay, just also a comment about one word, be aware of, in medieval Hebrew, just as you're talking about cities, what does the word Medina mean?
City.
Yeah. Like not province. It means city.
Really?
Yes. Mecca. Mecca. In province.
Why do you have a... Yeah, right.
Province. But in medieval Hebrew, it means city. And think about Mecca and Medina. Right. It's Arabic influence. Okay. Mecca. Medina means the city. I don't know. Where is it used in the Mishnah? The last Bamikdash of a Medina. So that's a machlok. That's interesting. I did think about this and wondered to what extent the Rambam's position is influenced, and he might be wrong. The famous machlokas, the Rambam and many other Rishonim, where the Medina there means Yerushalayim. No. I take it back. It's reversed. The Rambam's position is that Mikdash there means even Yerushalayim, and Medina means the rest of the country. So it's not being used that way there. My Ashkenaz read Medina not as Dafki Yerushalayim, but anywhere outside of the Mikdash. So no. Right, but nobody there is assuming, I think, that the word Medina means city. You have to look elsewhere to see if any clear indication. But just be aware of it, because the word Machoza here doesn't mean the town. It means many krach. Hey, Al? Because it's not a form that people can eat to sustain themselves. But you can see...
But
it's in an edible form. Right, in other words, you could... That's why...
But it's
clear in the Gemara also, why would Orez V'dochan be included? What's the whole issue that's being focused on is it's the nature of being a staple food. But kimcha d'chite can't be a staple food.
So how come they didn't say that? All that's mentioned in the Gemara is not a frita.
No, but they're speaking about whether or not you make ha'adama on it versus shahakol.
Right.
There was no shaila about... There's no havamin about mizonos, because mizonos can only have staple food. So now that mizonos is out, what bracha are we considering? Okay, so now... Fine. So that Rava thought originally.
So the
important musra, of course, from Rava, the story of Rava, is that a person who is sufficiently an unav, needs to be capable of recognizing that his earlier position was wrong. And changing his position. Now, the fact that you will change your position doesn't make you an unav, but if you refuse to change your position, it does mean the opposite. A person has to have enough humility to recognize sometimes he's wrong, And it's okay, you know, that a person changes his mind. The only key, a person doesn't change his mind when it's convenient for him. But when a person genuinely recognizes the position is wrong and adopts a different position, that's perfectly acceptable. And I should add in that vein that it is important. People don't like that notion of, you know, maybe rabbis don't like that notion, suspecting that people would have motivations for changing their minds other than pure motivations. But you should be aware that the Gemara in Kiddushin in the fourth Perek, and there was a debate between a fellow Rabbi Yehuda had put in Chayram and then had announced that, had put in Chayram, I think he announced he was an Eved or something like that, and he was called to a Din Torah in front of Rav Nachman, and then the Eved made some comment, and Rabbi Yehuda said, well, I have a Shmua that anybody who says so-and-so about themselves is an Eved, in fact. So the Gemara says that we would not have accepted the statement from him if it weren't uttered before he was a Nogeh B'davar. And it was only by sheer coincidence that some other Amora happened to walk into town that day and happened to recite this din that they actually accepted Rav Yehuda's, the Amora Rav Yehuda's statement. Otherwise, his Shmuel would have been rejected because he would have been considered no Gei B'davar. But the Gemara makes explicit this principle, this notion that, you know, if you say it Kodem Shas Maisa, it's accepted. You say it B'Shas Maisa when you're no Gei B'davar, it's not accepted. But assuming that a person's not no Gei B'davar, a person has to be willing to consider that the position is wrong and to reconsider that position. Ezra?
When we assume that it's Hadar Marava, do we think that he rethought it, or he became aware because he became aware of the Shita that he wasn't aware of it?
So that really depends. Either way, he could have mimitare its Rav and Shmuel Shita to make it irrelevant. Now, the way the Ritva reads that Riyata de Chaklai is not the same thing as Chavitza, but it's a slightly different form. He's reading that so as to explain how Rava knew Rav and Shmuel, but he thought it didn't apply in this case, and then he changed his mind and thought that it did apply. Okay. So now the Gemara. So this is the end. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end. Riyata de Chaklai really belongs, whether it is this identical or not, it belongs with the previous Sugya. The discussion, the two major axes around which the rest of our sugya is going to discuss is going to be, number one, the question of chavitza, and number two, the question of chiyav chala on lechem asli lekutach. There's really two issues we're going to deal with. The first issue we have dealt with more extensively in the halacha shir, namely the tripartite system of Rabbeinu Yonah, and the second part, which we touched upon a little less, is the issue of the Chiyuv Chala and Blila Raka and Blila Avan Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Okay, we're going to deal with both of those, but those are sort of the two major issues we have to confront. Now, keep in mind, you know what the Maskana is in the Shulchan Aruch, but remember, that Maskana was arrived at, it didn't come down from heaven. And therefore, as you read the Sugya, you have to sort of be aware what the Maskana is that we accept, but remember that you're going to have to get there, and not all Rishonim get there. Okay? So, the Gemara says, go ahead.
So if the chavitza has the pieces are the size of zayas, then hamotzi and normal mazor, and if it doesn't, then mizornos and will be throw all nothing.
No, slow down. No, you didn't slip in. Slow down. Don't answer this question. What is chavitza? Very important question. There's one thing you know about chavitza. You know that there are pieces of bread in there. Okay. Say nothing more at the moment. All you know that chavitza is pieces of bread in it. There's a major machlokas arishon on what chavitza is. And that has a tremendous ramifications lahalacha. But right now, whatever chavitza is, Rabbi Yosef says, Perun kezayis hamotzi. Perun not kezayis, not hamotzi. Okay, next statement.
Amar Rabbi Yosef, Mina amin Allah. So how do I know this? Tesanya, Haya omeid umakir menachos v'yushalayim.
Now, I'm not interested. I'm not going to read them inside. I'm not going to explore what the ramifications are. There are three deos as to what this means. Who is making this bracha? One is that it's the Israel who hasn't brought a karban mincha in a long time. Possibility two is that it's a kohen who is bringing for the first time in at least 24 weeks. Okay, because that was the last time his mishmar came. And any dava which is only ba misman lisman, you make a shechiyano and any mitzvah like that. And number three is that it's a Kohen who's bringing a Minchas Chinuch. Okay? He's bringing a Karban Mincha. It's not technically, but he's bringing a Karban Mincha for the first time.
Kohen Gadol or not?
What? Rashi elsewhere. Rashi and Menachos says the Ma'ariv Kohen Shelo Hikrev Me'olam.
Tosos says that.
I know Rashi in Menachos, not Rashi here. I didn't. You asked me, and others quoted also from Rashi and Menachos. So I honestly, I didn't check because I'm not interested in exploring the issue. Be aware, it's not for the moment. This detail is not particularly important for us, Ezra.
What does Minchas Chinuch means? The first one?
Or the first? Practice? Yeah. I mean, no.
The first one on this one.
Sorry. When we say that avodasan mechanchasan. That means the first avoda someone does. The Gemara wants to know how if you have a kohen when you have no shemen, when you have no mashuach, when you don't have mashiach b'shem na mishcha, and a kohen has to step in on Yom Kippur to take over the avoda. How does he become a kohen gadol? So one but if you don't have the begadim, extra begadim on. No, what? So they say avodaso mechan chaso. The lashon of chinuch for the Gemara can sometimes mean inaugurate, as opposed to train or educate. So, anyway.
So what would it mean, minchas?
A minchas chinuch mean is the first mincha the kohen brought. You don't practice in the
person,
mikdash.
The gavra.
Yes.
It's the first time he's done.
Yes, I believe we say that a kohen hedyo brings something like a minchas chavitin the first day. That he does avoda.
Meaning when he's 13 or 14?
No, the first time he does avoda.
Yeah, but that's going
to
be...
Maybe not that early. Whatever it is. Go ahead.
So, hey, omega makar benachos b'yushalayim, omega b'rosh hafiyanu v'hiyimanu v'hiyyanu v'zman hazeh, notlon la'achlon, v'yitzem v'varech ha'mozi lacham min ha'aretz, v'tani Allah v'kulon...
That's an amazing soma. Go ahead.
His eyes. All these pieces are of his ayas, and we see that he's making a hamotzi.
Okay, so what happens? So the din that all menachos, the Rashi says, that are baked and baking, and this is one of the complicated issues. Okay, how many different kinds of menachos there are? This is torture. This is unfair to you, but I'm going to do it anyway. Even I would have to think for a little bit. How many different kinds of regular voluntary Minchas Nedava are there? No, that's not the Tzur of Hatzman. There are two kinds of Minchas Mafei Saner. There's Chalos and Rekikin. That counts as two. There's Machamas, there's Marcheshet, and there's Minchas Solas. A Minchas Solas doesn't have the din of Pasos Osah Pitim. Why? It's kind of hard to break.
Yeah.
I mean, at best, it's something. It's maybe dough-like at best.
You can bring solas in the dava. It's not just a sota and the other.
No. It has shemen in it. But the point is, it's not. It's not baked, so you can't break it.
Okay.
Right now, all the others have hardened. The machabas and marcheshes are two kinds of menachos. One, Rashi says in Chumash, it has to do with the depth of the pan, and one of them is softer. One of them is not cracker-like, but it's harder because. It's a shallower pan. So, those two things Rashi is going to describe as nefes, the marcheshes of a machavas, or mafes sanon, the different shapes, two different shapes that you can bring in the karba mincha. There's a mitzvah on all those menachos, pasos osah pitim, v'yatzakta la shemen minchahi. You have to do pesisa, you have to break it up. So the question is, as every good Jew would ask, just because the Torah says break it up into pieces. So it's like a cooking recipe. It's not enough you put a little salt in it. How much salt do you put in, right? So they say, how are you poses? So the Mishnah says, v'chulon poses in kizayis. All right, all of these things you break up into kizayis, okay? And the assumption is, and Rav Yosef's proof is the reason why you break them into kizayis is because any smaller it wouldn't be lachem anymore. You wouldn't make hamotzi lachem in aras. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef. Any other possibilities? Yeah, of course there are. Because that's a... why? Because that's... that's all.
Maybe it's not...
In other words, it's not called pitim, unless Yavah Kazai is there. That's all.
Amar Le Abaye, Ela Mayata, Watana de Bay Shmal.
Mm-hmm.
The Amar Porkin Ashim Akzira Lissalson, Hachanami de Labaye.
Right. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Shmuel says that you make matzah meal out of it. So according to that shita, would you not say hamotzi?
V'chitema.
Now, what is this Bryce is talking about? What does that mean? Lakat mikulan kazayis. What are we dealing with here? Lakat mikul. What does he locate from? The pieces of the karma mincha. Okay. One second. Wormuth either on his own or red tosis. Okay. Figured out that you can't have chametz by any mincha that you process. There is chametz in a mincha, but it's not. You don't do pesisa and it's not brought. And what two karbanos have chametz in them?
Karban Torah and Karban Shtei Lechem.
And the Shtei Lechem, right? So you don't do pesisa on those. So if that's the case, how do you ever have chametz? So you could say it means the kohen was over and was machmitz them. I want to just tell you, it's not just Rashi who says it. In the Otsar HaGaonim, in one of the tshuvos there, in the tshuva on the sugya, it appears that the Gaonim read the same way.
So then, it has nothing to do with Pesach, then. He's chayv karis for chometz of
mincha. No, he's not chayv karis for bringing. It's a lo sase. Yeah, and in conjunction with matzah, that makes it impossible. I mean, there's an isur and a kohen being machmitz, a karban, even after you did the b'hakrava. So kohanim are generally allowed to eat the karban mincha and the karbanos any way they want. Now, once the carbon has been brought, a Kohen can eat the meat roasted, pot, you know, as a pot roast. He can eat it,
Boil.
Any way he likes to. He can eat the meat that way. He can put mustard on it. He can put ketchup on it. Whatever he likes, he can do.
But he can't boil it.
But you can't take a mincha and turn it into chametz even after you've done the kamitza and burn whatever you need to done as bech.
Just the mincha or that meat?
It's very hard to turn meat into chametz, last time I checked. What?
Boil it in beer? You'll get the people that have a towel to chametz?
I don't think that's called making it chametz.
It's the answer is to make it chametz, not to give it, not to put chametz in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. No,
I think so.
I'm asking.
I think so. You go learn Menachos and see if there is another view on that. I'm not aware of it. I never thought about that question, but there's might be a different problem with bringing beer into the Mikdash, but that's a separate issue. It's hazardous, right? It has to come with a skull and crossbones. Drinking this might be dangerous to your health.
You might get... It could be electric consequences.
Okay.
Does this breast appear anywhere else?
I think not. So that's why we don't really know what its context is. So anyway, but let's assume for the moment, I don't care. Let's say you get around the technical problem. It matters. The stakes go beyond the question of whether it becomes chametz. It's relevant to the sugya, but for the moment, let's not decide that issue. So then what happens? So you see what? If you're yotzei the chi of a mitzvah matzah, what is it?
It's real bread.
How do you know it's real bread? Maybe it's matzah.
Yeah, so matzah, I mean, it gets a hamotzi. Not the important part.
No, because matzah, how do you know matzah must be bread?
Because
it has to be lechem oni. So it has to have a shem lechem. So therefore, you didn't mean to say that. Rashi probably says that. Okay, so therefore, how can you say you don't make hamotzi on it? It must have a din of lechem. So the Gemara answers. Bisha Irsan. Okay, we're going to explain for the moment to keep matters simple the way Rashi explained, which is you took these things, you kneaded them into a dough again, and you baked it.
Just a general question.
Sure.
I thought that when the Gemara say Hacha b'mayasina, that usually when the Gemara is using Hacha and Hasam, Hacha will be the case first quoted, or like the
no.
Being dealt with here
no.
And
no. Lav dafka. No. This is explaining.
If it was
Hacha
alone.
Here, but it threw me off.
This is explaining Lakat Mikulon Kazayas.
But Hachav Ma'askinan is a phrase.
There would never. There would, I'm sorry, Ezra?
Hachav will be the former always?
No.
On the latter, sorry?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not.
It would never say Hatam V'Ma'askinan. It's when it's using Hachan Hatam alone.
Yeah, I suspect it's both. I don't know for sure, but I haven't studied the term. It's usually, you can tell from context which it is.
Yeah, okay.
So Hachav V'Ma'askinan Bisha'er son. The Gaonim have a different shot also, but we're going to ignore that for the moment. They quote two pshatim in that shuva, what Ersan means. The second one is, I think, more akin to Rashi, although what Rashi adds an important piece. Rashi says you bake them. Okay? You bake
Wait,
them.
What else had Oh, meaning his...
It has something to do with Arisa.
Which is... Arisa.
Yes, a dough. No, Ariso Sechem, the Arisa is the dough.
Yes, says,
no, isn't Arisa the same thing as Isa?
I said I thought at first.
I think so.
I
don't know what the connection is. I assume, you know, Ariso Sechem is the dough, not the baked form. What?
JPS says bread.
They hold like Shitas, you know, the Rash Mishans. So it has to be, you know, Tchilas, it has to be Sofal Das Isa or something like that.
So we're going to assume for now that...
And by the way, this would be proof that it's not correct. Presumably, because Ersan does not mean to bake it here. Everybody understands Ersan means to be Megabel. Almost everybody. Even the other pshat in the Gaonim is not to bake. It has to do with kneading. It's to take it and just soak it in water. Okay? So apparently... Even though it lost the shem lechem, when you take it and you rebake it, it gets the shem lechem back. But ordinarily, if it were less than a kezias, ein hachinami, you wouldn't make hamotzi. It's only, in other words, once it's less than a kezias, there's no hamotzi. You're saying, in this case, that you do make hamotzi. The answer is you glued it back together. But gluing it back together may require baking. Okay? So now the Gemara continues. Ah, but that can't be so. Ibisha Ersan, that's nothing worse. Ihachi.
Ihachi, Ema Seva. The Hu Sha'achwan, Bechle Achilas Pras.
You have to eat them.
In this time, in the Bechle Achilas Pras. Ibisha Ersan, Hai Sha'achwan, Sha'achu Mibayla.
Right. Achlo. Right? It's, you made it one. It's like the stones at Yaakov's head. Okay? So, Acha Bemayaski. Okay, so now the Gemara says, all right, so that answer didn't work, so we'll explain differently. Lakat mikulan kezayis means is beba milechem gadol. It means that if you have a piece of bread from which you've broken off a whole bunch of crumbs and you want to eat the crumbs, even though the crumbs themselves are less than a kezayis each, because the loaf is still intact, there's more than a kezayis in one place on any of the pieces you make hamotzi. Yes. It wasn't, well, some of them were baked, yeah. The question of what the status of Machavas and Marcheshis is that baking or not? Because there's oil there. So some would say it's not baking, it's tigun. It's frying and frying, and it's not of the status of fiyah for lachem purposes.
But in terms of the
chametz,
I understand how...
That question was going through my mind earlier, whether or not it's even possible to give that teretz, because this is dafka by the Marcheshis and Machavas. The only mincha that you can make into chametz later would be something that hadn't been baked, namely mincha solas, but that's not pesisis and chaya. Okay, so maybe you can't give the answer that they made in chametz later. The iser exists even the iser exists by all menachas of allowing them to become chametz in the first place and bringing this carbon mincha, but the iser being machmetz the shirai may only be my mincha solas, because that might be the only one that it's possible. Yes. Okay. Yehuda? I'm glad somebody thought about that. I was thinking about it, because I assume regardless of what Machavas and Machreshes is called halachically, that should also kill the gluten. Right. Good. Yes.
Just a little confused. Why, in this case, why not just eat from the big piece? You have a big loaf here. It's like, why would you just have a little crumb that's less than a percent?
Why would you have that? Because you're sharing with other Kohanim, and each person's only getting a small amount.
There's still the big thing intact.
I know, but that's going to be broken up later also to give other Kohanim. All right. Okay. I'll grant you that. Ami?
Going back a little bit earlier about Tom Hayes, we think if there's not enough of the Zionist Mizana, is that because we know there's so much flour in it, even though it's not actual breadcrumbs, it's flour? So if you have, let's say, a chicken that has lots and lots of breading, you would never know how many that you would say hamotzi in it, or even that you would say even donut on it.
We spoke about this yesterday,
no,
so and I got.
It's not sure. Like he says, in my talking about chavit means, so chavit definitely has flour in.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not bread.
Correct. Chavit is flour, not bread. That's correct.
And is that the reason why you say
that? Well, no. I take that back. Now chavit itself may not be bread, but chavit the isbe pirurin has bread in it.
But the house has lots of flour that's not bread.
Could. It may, in this case, not necessarily have to. Chavitza, the standard definition of chavitza does not necessarily have flour in it. We'll talk about it more. We're avoiding talking about what chavitza is. I want you to be in the dark. Okay, so now, my... So what was the maskar? We had this whole discussion, but, you know, yes, Ami, you're right, or whoever said it, Rabbi Yosef's teretz was not entirely... No, it wasn't Ami. Yehuda's right. His teretz is not entirely convincing. So now, Amar of Sheshes.
They're going to say, even if it doesn't come from... Even if it doesn't, the pieces are not a kezayas, you say hamotzi.
Okay, against... Against Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rava. Okay. Now, the truth is, I translate Tzuras HaPas. I actually want to revoke that translation. What does Teresa Denama mean? What's that? So, in the Otsar Agonim, at the end of that Shuvah I referred to, he points out that a lot of times Alephs fall out. Teresa Denama is Teurisa Denama, Toar. Gabe said it. That's what the Gaonim say, also. It doesn't, I don't think it changed. I mean, I don't know if Tzuras HaPas and Torah Alechem are any different. It's probably the same thing.
Is he bringing those two words because he thinks both of them are possibilities?
No. Toar, Marisala, it's not two, it's one thing. It means it looks like bread.
But he could have said Toar Alechem or Marit Alechem.
Toar is describing Marit.
It was ambiguous.
Yeah, I don't see this as being, you have to break it down to two criteria. You know, Toar is a generic word. Toar is a little description, right? Of Maris, it's Maris Halechem.
Well,
he uses the word Toar because the Gemara uses the word Teresa. That's all.
Well, what I'm saying is that he thought...
The appearance of bread
is... Was Rashi certain that Toar was a proper translation? That Marit might also be a good translation.
Maris is his translation explanation of the word Toar. I don't know if that helps us understand any more exactly what he means by Teresa Denama, but it looks like bread. Okay, what does it mean, looks like bread? I don't know. Moshe had a question?
I was just curious whether the difference is different from Toar, because Toar, if it sort of looks like something that would be bread, rather than Tzura, which might depend on shear. I don't know.
No, but in the Tzura, you might say, depends more upon shape.
Which could depend on shear.
Okay, so I only tell you that when you get to the case that I think would be another situation of Teresa, of where shape plays a role, which is on pancakes. So there they use the word again, Teresa Denama. Pancake in the Gemara. Is anyone where pancake is in the Gemara? No. What is the term the Gemara is going to use a little bit further on? No. Teresa. Yes, it is Gevil Martach. Gevil Martach is when you take something which is a belila raka, a batter, and you just pour it on the hot metal surface, the kira. Griddle, call it that. Okay, that's what a pancake is, right? It's not even quite the same as a waffle. Why is a waffle different? A waffle is made in a shape, right? That's different. That's like being made in a machavas. Here it's just poured on the thing, and then it starts. What's that?
A waffle.
A waffle. 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 I did not. I don't know what a laf, how a laf is made.
Like a pancake.
Is a laffa a batter? Or a dough?
It's a loose dough.
It's a
dough.
Dough, that's different. That's different.
Yeah.
That's different. Gvil martach is you take something that pours, right? In fact, you see gvil martach has an analog in trukanin. Trukanin is kuva da'ara. Kuva da'ara means when you have a little indentation in the kira on the floor and you pour the batter in there, so there it has a shape that holds it, and that's called, that has teresa the nama. However, when you just pour it on top of the griddle, if you want to call that, on top of the kira, you just pour the batter out, and just because the heat, eventually it stops flowing and starts solidifying, that has no teresa nama. Now, there, if you ask me, that's the word for tsura, really, and thus that's called teresa the nama. Right? And as if you had a pancake, which didn't have the nice, you know, whatever, those, you know, the shape, you know what I mean, like the squares, right? Well, you can make a pancake
with
I'm sorry. You make a waffle without the squares, right? It could still be, you know, a waffle, but it would be made in a shape, and that would be, that would have tzuras apah. What? Correct, but it would, well, it may not be exactly, but the point is, one of them has been shaped, it's a little thicker, the other one was just tossed on that, one of them is called having teresa nama, one dozen, and there it means really a tzura, it's really a shape. I think, in other words, I'm just pointing out there, I don't know what in other words, there the word teresa denam is used by the Rishonim, but it really refers almost to a shape. And it's bread has a certain shape. A pancake is not bread. You know? Okay. So anyway, it's a cake. All right. Made in a pan. There you go. Darshin and Shemus. Fine.
I was going to say.
So anyway, so now, let's hold off on that. So now, so Rabba says, "V'hude ikala teresa denama." So let's put all the data out there for a moment. We have a brisa. We have a brisa earlier that says, "When do you make hamotzi on bread, and when do you make mizonos?" Prusos kayamos or ain prusos kayamos? That's data point one. I'm sorry, we just still haven't gotten the board, but you should. We need a board for this, okay? Data. So you write it on your paper, so you all have it, and unless you think you got it all in your head already. Data point one is prusos kayamos versus ain prusos kayamos. Now, that's item one. I'll call item A actually. A sub one is the Ushalmi that understands what does prusas kayamas mean. Kizayas. The definition of prusas kayamas is a kizayas. What has been done in item A to the bread? Bishul. Tchanan afan, that's just making it the bread. Bishlan. You cook it. And when you cook it, it depends upon whether prusas kayamas or not. Whatever that means. Now, the Ushalmi understands that to mean kazayas and not kazayas, but not necessarily, doesn't have to be that way. Yeah? Correct.
It's not bishul anyway.
It might not be bishul. It's not bishul. That's not bishul. That's afia.
It could be afia also.
That's afia. French toast is afia. Excuse me. In French toast, you don't. Do you ever seen how it's made? Even I've seen how it
now. You dip it in
a batter, so you have this, you know, what? Yeah, I know, but it's not. There's almost nothing in there. It's basically that. This is, by the way, one of the other things to consider. Also, I actually need to look at that Gemara, but I mean, I've seen the Gemara quote enough times. There is a basic machlokas when you masa ilfas, which is a frying pan. Whether masa ilfas.
Let's try to figure out what that was.
Yeah.
It's like masa ilfas.
Masa ilfas. That's one to be safe for the Purim Hamavasa. The masa ilfas means a frying pan. The machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is as follows. If you heat the pan first and then you put the item in it, everybody agrees that's called afia. But if you put the item in it and then you heat it, which is not the way we normally do things, that's a machlokas. But we pasuk it's called afia anyway. Now, if you have a significant amount of liquid in it, that already becomes a question among the Rishonim. But French toast is afia.
raised it doesn't mean that official, but it's saying that because that's a good, that's a common way for you to lose the
yeah, but your truth is, in this case, the afia is not what causes you to lose the tzuras hapas by the French toast. Yeah. It's the dipping it in the batter.
Oh, no, I'm saying outside of the French toast.
But usually afia brings you closer to lechem under almost all circumstances.
I'm talking about a case where you would lose when pruso would not be kayam or the common place.
Oh, but even if it weren't mavushal, even if you just broke the bread up, you crumbled the bread. So that's a possibility. Not really. I'm just pointing as a matter of fact. The Brisa talks about a case of bishul. Maybe it could be even not by bishul, but the Brisa talks about bishul case. Next. We have chavitza. What is chavitza? I'm not telling you. But you have this substance called chavitza. And when you have chavitza, we know that Rabbi Yosef claims, whatever chavitza is, Rabbi Yosef claims that chavitza, in order to make a hamotzi on it, the peirurin must have, and the chavitza, the one thing we don't know is it has peirurin of lechem in it. He says the peirurin must be a kezias or larger in order to make hamotzi. Rav Sheshes, we know, disagrees with Rabbi Yosef and says that the peirurin do not have to have a kezias in them. But Rava offers one important qualification, which is that even though the peirurin have a kezias in them, they must have teresa de nahama. Now, yes, Moshe. Each one. Only time I think that will change is if you rebake them. If you glue them together and bake them, that's irsan, the way Rashi understood. Now, if it didn't involve baking, we'd have tzaris then. That would make things more confusing. But let's assume that means you bake them. Okay? Baking them again. They started out. What's that? Can you do that? Yeah, you won't get rising twice if the flour, the gluten may be gone, but you can bake it, and it may, you know, stick together. So, so it could be that the machlokas or sheshes Rabbi Yosef is a machlokas in how to read the braisa of what prusos kayamos mean. Why is that a difficult shot? I still need to provide you with a couple more data points. Eyal suggesting maybe the machlokas or sheshes Rabbi Yosef is how to read the braisa. Why is that probably not correct? More than that, though. If they were arguing about what the Braisa meant, what should Rav Sheshes have said? One of the Rishonim must say this. Ravenu Yonah must say this. What's that? Rav Sheshes should have said, "V'hu de'ikala teresa denama." Not, in other words, the point is Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are not arguing about the meaning of the Braisa, because otherwise Rav Sheshes hasn't provided us with the meaning. It's Rav, you're saying, Eyal, that maybe they're arguing where Rav Yosef says Prusas Kayamos means Kizayis, and Rav Sheshes says it means Teresa Denama. But then Rav Sheshes should have said that. Instead, Rav Sheshes just says, even though Kizayis, and Rava comes along and says, V'hu de'ikale Teresa Denama. But by the way, as a qualification, even though you don't need a Kizayis, you do need that. What do you mean, by the way? So that's what the Bryce is telling you.
So then Rav's interpretation within
but he can't really be interpreting. Could be that Rava would say that's what the Braisa meant, but once you get to this stage, it does not appear that they're arguing, that they're focused on their arguments about the Braisa. I think Rabbeinu Yonah somewhere that makes a point like that. I mean, but I think it's an intuitive reading. Okay, now the other data points to consider are as follows. A Karban Mincha, a Mafei Taner, has Afia. A Marcheshes and a Machavas have either something that would be called Afia or Bishul. It's not entirely clear. And so they have had something done to them. I think those are sufficient for the data points. And one more observation. Lakat mi kulon. Whatever you're being locate from, you're not doing anything to it once you locate. In other words, if you're locate from generally pieces of chamesh esmine dagan, let's say a bread of chamesh esmine dagan, but they were crumbled up and you locate, so you don't cook it, you don't bake it, you don't do anything to it. You just gather it together.
What would the havamina be that you wouldn't be over chametz
on the Pesach there? I don't care about that now. You know, why wouldn't you be?
I'm saying that it's brought up in the context of being over
So let me put it to you this way. If it's the way many Rishonim understand that it's talking about Chamisha Shteinim and Dagon generally, they're telling you that even though you don't have... The Rishonim say this. Even though your Chametz is not from one min, it's multiple minim, you might say... You've never learned Kachem. You might say they're not Mitztari for the purposes of Chiv Chatas. Okay? Now I'm... Okay. So anyway... So Lakat Mikulan... The Havamin of the Gemara there, the explanation of the Brisa there is you simply put them together and you don't do anything else. So now the question is, what does Chavitza mean? Now, depending upon what you say Chavitza means, that will determine what the relationship between the Machlokas, Rabbi Yosef, and Rav Sheshes is, the relationship between them and the Brisa, and all the things that are quoted. And then obviously it's going to have ramifications, la halacha, to understand, since presumably who do we paskin like? Like Rav Sheshes and Rava, to figure out what exactly they're arguing with Rabbi Yosef about. That issue is going important. So that's what I would like you to do for tomorrow. You don't have to go further than Gemara for the moment. I would like you to do, I'll try to send these out, but write them down now as well. I want you to do the top Tosfos. The top Tosfos on the Amud, you can skip the next two. And then in the third Tosfos, just the first half, there's a colon in the middle. You don't need to do the second half. We mentioned that in Halacha, but not relevant for right now. And then you want to look at the Tosas Harash, Dibur Hamaschil Hai, and Dibur Hamaschil V'i. What's that?
You said
I'm sorry. Let me give it to you a little differently. I'll send this out. But no, first do the two issues. I want to just deal with how to read the top Tosas. They become intertwined eventually. The top Tosas Chavitza, then those two Tosas Arash that I gave you, then the second Hai and Ve'i, then the second Tosas I asked you, look at Amar Rava, the first half, and then compare it to Tosas Arash, Dibar Maschil, Amar Rava, and then finally, Talmide Rabbeinu Yonah, two Dibar Maschils. And I'm not going to give you all of it because otherwise, it's again, if you have time, you can read the whole thing. If not, you can cut to the chase. Number one, Dibar Maschil and Mori Harav, and number two, Dibar Maschil Al Kain. And then if you have time after that, I'd like you to look in the Rambam, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. And then look in the Beis Yosef, in Simen Kuf Samach Ches, the Dibar Maschil Vaharambam Kasav. It's Os Yud, I believe. So again, Rambam Brachos Gimel Ches, in the Beis Yosef, Kuf Samach Ches, Dibar Maschil Vaharambam Kasav.
Rambam what?
I'm sorry?
Rambam what?
Gimel Ches. In Brachos. Kesef
Mishnah
168, Dibar Maschil V'Rambam Kasav.
Is it Mishnah you're
saying? Beis Yosef, yes.
What
I suspect that what he says in the Kesef Mishnah is probably the same thing, but it may be a little longer there, it's a little bit shorter. And by the way, interesting enough, it's the only place in the Beis Yosef, anywhere, where the Abarbanel is, quote, referred to. He's not really quoted. He was there. He's described in very glowing terms. This is important, by the way.
They wouldn't make a president of YOK.
In Kuf Samaches, in that Beis Yosef, the issue of the Ram, what the Ram meant, was discussed in the yeshiva in the presence of Moreno Harav Abu Hav. And then amongst them was Harav HaGadol, you know, Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel.
Well,
only once, according to this. His Perushat Avos is referred to a couple of times, I think, in Shulchan Aruch or in the Tziyunim in Shulchan Aruch, something like that, from Pirkei Avos. However, I don't know. You can go look again. I did a quick look, but I believe it's the only place the Abarbanel is quoted by Yosef, but he's described in such glowing terms. I think we can now call the Abarbanel Rishon.
Okay. Are we having questions?
So, wait, so.
Hey.